Okay, all you lowercase g gamers, put your hands together for Jason Schreier, Maddie Myers, and Kirk Hamilton.
I'm Kirk Hamilton.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Jason Schreier. Hello!
Hello!
Thank you all for coming
it's
out.
Us.
Oh my
goodness gracious, look
this
at this.
This is fantastic. You guys get to hear what we sound like when Kirk can't fix our mistakes.
Yeah.
It is going to be incredible.
True. This is live. Anything could happen. We have our comfort switches at the ready.
Right, we brought them out just in case we need to play a little bit of Zelda.
Maddie is lying. We have him because we can't stop playing Zelda. We might be tempted.
I was trying to cover Jason. I was trying to cover for that.
Yeah, it's like my teddy bear.
Did anybody else bring their Switch tonight? I wow. see you. Oh, see, that's
in case we're bored.
Hang on. Did everyone who just cheered, did you actually bring a Switch, or are you just cheering for the people who brought Switches?
Yeah. Right. They're just
I see
supportive.
Some actual Switches.
I think people are used to doing things while they listen to podcasts.
Right.
So
people cheer whenever we say anything. When they're
Did anybody bring your dishes so you could do your dishes while listening to
load of laundry.
Right, right. Walk the dog. Are there any dogs on there? How's everybody doing? Yeah? Oh, I can see you all now. What a lovely crowd. We're very excited that you're here. We're excited to do our show with an audience. And we hope that you're excited, too. I wanted to try a few things out on you because audience participation is an important part of doing a live podcast. So the first thing I want to do, this is going to involve you all. So our show is called Triple Click. And at the beginning of the show, there's some theme music that plays, and it makes a sound. It goes click, click, click really quickly. It's like three clicks because that's the name of our show. You'd be surprised how many people didn't figure that out.
I didn't. So, I just found out.
Nice. Jason didn't know.
Yeah, this is our first time hearing this.
So what I would love to hear from all of you is three quick claps that sounds kind of like that same, those three clicks, all right? So here we go. You ready? I'm going to say triple click, and then I want to hear clap, 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 all right? Here we go. Triple click. Damn.
Wow, that was
good.
Beautiful.
I thought we were going to have to do it a few times. That was beautiful. Okay, so I'm establishing a rule for this show. Anytime we say the name of our podcast, all of you are going to do that clap, okay? So we're going
to
try
it
right now. We make a podcast called Triple Click. That was pretty good.
That's good. If one of us accidentally says it, like an hour from now,
we're going to have to remember.
We're going to be so freaked out. See if you can freak us out.
It's true. It's true. Okay, so the rule is in place starting now. You all have your responsibility. Okay. So now, here's another thing. It's not every day that we have this many people in one room together.
Well, speak for yourself.
That's true.
Jason's been doing live shows constantly.
I mean, I have two small children, so it feels like.
Yeah, you're always performing, always on.
So I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity just to get the Foley. So we're going to be editing this show afterward. Everyone's going to get to listen to it in the main feed next week. And there might be some times where we tell a joke that isn't actually funny, but I want to make everybody think that you all thought it was really funny.
That's right.
So can you all just laugh on cue? I'm going to give you a cue, and I just want like a big laugh, like one of us just told the funniest joke ever. Ready? Here we go. Wow.
That was the peak. It's all
That was
all
beautiful. That was good. That was good. Okay, that was pretty good. We're going to have to leave some space after these because I want to be able to edit them in. So I'm thinking this through as we go. Okay, now what I want to groan. So I'm giving Jason notes as we go. This is how we do this. I want to groan. So now one of us told a really terrible joke that you kind of love anyways, but it's terrible. So this is a big groan. Are you ready? That's pretty good.
That was a little too good.
We'll fix that one.
No.
What other sounds should we make?
You don't think like a cheer? Like they're just crying with happiness.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Here.
Your
like,
favorite
oh
team
God.
Just won the World Cup. You're so excited. Wow.
Okay, wait. You just found a Korok seed.
I edited that sound into our recent episode. Did you hear that?
No, I knew about the thriller thing. That was amazing.
Yeah. I feel like if I just find a Korok seed, I'm like, really? Okay. There's another one of those.
Another one. It's just this rock. I just picked up a rock.
Yeah, like I was just picking that up for some other reason, but now
you just picked up a Korok and decided to barbecue it using one of those contraptions.
Right,
are
crucify
you torturing Koroks? Are you one of those people?
No, I just ignore.
There's
the
a lot
ones
of people out there
help.
Torturing Koroks.
Yeah, because they're too much of a pain. I'm like, I could either like go through 20 minutes of trying to help this Korok to
you
get
can't,
a couple
you
seeds,
can't.
Or
yeah.
I could just pick up a rock and find a seed there. So
yeah.
Why would I bother?
Well, you get two if you help the guy.
I know, but like.
They're trying to incentivize
I'm
you.
I'm trying to min-max here.
Anytime
does everybody
I see a
know what we're talking
backpack
about?
On, I'm like, I yeah. can't help no. you, man. Mm. Like, you put that on. You made that choice.
It's true. You're the one who's yeah. just take a
you're
rest,
just,
man.
You're
and go.
Just vibing in that huge backpack. Uh-huh. And, like, so is your friend really far away. Like, you guys both made some choices that led you to this moment. I don't have to help you.
Uh-huh. Man.
I'm just a guy. I'm just living my
heartless,
life.
Heartless, heartless Matty Myers.
I'm enjoying imagining that I feel like there probably are about five people here who don't know what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
let's,
I hope,
let's,
I hope,
let's bring them in. Let's bring them in.
Shout out to everyone.
So there's these things called Korok seeds.
Yeah, we should
the children of the forest.
I mean, I could
see.
Pull up the yeah. instruction manual yeah. and just read
to?
It.
Heard of him? Mm-hmm. He's got some maracas.
He does have some maracas.
And he's got to shake them with some seeds in. You know?
I have a question about him. Do you think he does a little cutscene?
We're not explaining what this is, by
no.
the way.
Okay. In The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, as you're exploring the Kingdom of Hyrule,
yep.
you sometimes find little puzzles, these little puzzles in the environment. Usually it's just you see three trees and they're like all the same and you're like, that's got to be something.
Yeah.
And you go over and you like cut them all down and then this guy shows up and he gives you a little seed.
Uh-huh. A little
and then
guy.
You trade the seeds
guy.
To a larger guy.
Yeah, much
What's
bigger
his name?
Guy. Hestu.
Hestu.
And he's got maracas, but they're empty when you first find it.
Right. It's very sad.
I know.
He's super sad about it. Well, how sad? I mean, if you've ever held an empty maraca.
I know, it's really
it's terrible.
Really
it's just a gourd.
when have you held an empty maraca?
I have. If you ever teach students, like they destroy every instrument that exists. So the maracas will eventually not have anything in
there. Is that Hestu's story, do you think?
Like
Hestu's like
a high school
music teacher and he just really was trying to teach the little baby Koroks and they're running around throwing on their huge backpacks. That explains why the backpacks are so big.
I think we've really learned his whole story. Okay, so my question is
that makes it even more tragic. People
does.
Are just murdering them everywhere.
They're middle schoolers.
Oh my god.
I mean again, if you've taught middle schoolers music.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, they have big backpacks. I know that.
He does a cutscene. When you give him the seeds, it's really
yeah,
exciting.
You give him the seeds and he's so excited. Mm-hmm. And he does a dance, and then he gives you an expansion in your inventory slots.
Yes, always your weapon slot. Because come on, no one needs
what
more
are we
shields.
Doing here? What are we doing?
I kind of did feel like I needed more
shields. I added
shield
a couple bows.
Day,
I added
we'll
a couple bows.
Okay. We'll
I'll admit it.
When you attach like cannons and flamethrowers to your shields.
Oh, that's true. I guess that's true. In this game, it's a little different. Yeah. Okay, so my question is: he does this whole thing. There's like confetti pops out, and then there's like a beat, and he just sits there like. And it's really awkward and kind of anticlimactic. Is it supposed to be like, are we supposed to be kind of thinking he's ridiculous in that moment?
I mean, I think it's Zelda. You're supposed to be thinking everybody is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also joyful.
Right. That's about right.
And sort of unusual.
Joyful.
You're supposed to be much like Link, just staring blank faced upon the wall.
Yes.
Impassive.
Just not reacting to
not
all
reacting
the ridiculous
all.
Things happening in front of you.
10 out of 10 game. Just staring blank faced the whole time.
It really is.
That's
it is
what he does.
Game.
I love him for it. I love to face Link towards the camera and just take a screenshot of him looking like nothing's ever entered his beautiful little head.
But Kirk, you haven't explained the best part. Then you find out at the end of collecting all of the Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild, you find out what they are.
Oh, are we going to say?
Do you want to do us the honors?
No, you can tell us.
They're I don't
shit.
Think Kirk knows. Yeah, they are shit.
they're little Korok
they're
turds.
Poop.
And they're
that
hardened.
That is real. That's real.
And they're inside of a maraca, which also middle schoolers in music class.
Of course, they would steal the shit.
Did you know that I didn't know that?
You didn't know
no,
that?
I really didn't know
that.
Wow.
That you don't get to find that out until
we're
you
learning,
collect
them all. We're all learning things.
The other day, you guys were saying that you had never caught a falling star in that game.
Until
that's
recently,
right.
Yeah, which I had known about for a long time. But it's like, there are things in that game you
there's
cannot know.
So
falling
much
stars
you can
or the fact that Korok seeds are shit.
Yeah, they are. They
now
are
you
shit.
Know.
You know, and that's kind of why I think Hestu being goofy makes sense.
It
because
does.
It's all a lead up to this this reveal.
Well,
this
it also makes
greatest
sense.
Joke.
These Koroks, you're saving them, and they're like, here, thank you for saving me. Like, here is some of my shit.
Yeah. That they
in
stole,
return.
I guess, from the maracas?
I guess.
Unclear.
Well, Or did they just make stuff? I assume they just make
it. We'll see. I don't know. We don't know. We don't
Welcome to Triple Click.
Oh, my God. Hey. We're really excited about this, as you can tell.
This is going well.
We haven't done a live show together in 4 years.
Like 4 years ago. Yeah. How many of you guys were at the split screen live show?
Oh, these two.
That was nice. Good. Excellent. So you saw when we were called split screen, but now we're called Triple Click. That was bad. More people were ready.
You teed them up for it. I love that.
Nice. Everyone was ready.
Love it.
We're going to be talking about Zelda today.
News to
me. It seems like there's not really anything else to talk about. But that is something that we're going to talk about.
And then we're gonna answer some questions from the audience.
Yeah, you're allowed. You're permitted to ask questions that aren't about Zelda.
Yes. That is true. When we do a question section at the end. But yeah, for now, we're talking a little bit more about Zelda. It's funny because we recorded our Zelda episode, which went up today on Monday. Mm-hmm. And now it's Thursday.
That's right.
I don't know how much has
that
really
is
changed.
That is funny.
That's kind of a long
that
time
is
in playing
funny
Zelda.
How time
so
goes
how many people here have listened to this morning's episode already?
Hey. All right,
you are going to hear the same thing again.
Right.
No.
We actually printed out a transcript. We're just going to read it.
Different.
No, we'll try to keep
Zelda
things a little fresh.
So I think we're going to start by, we want to check in with how we're doing with this game. This massive video game that came out. And all three of us are playing it. And we did all bring our Switches.
We did.
So I'm going to go around, and I want you to take out your Switch. First, you're going to tell us a little bit about your case. So show us your case.
Turn it on. Turn up the volume.
What kind of case is that?
It's a fascinating black case that I think came when I reviewed the Switch in 2017.
That's right. They sent all the accessories
alongside it. I'm just like, okay, I'll keep
it. It's a pretty good case.
But
it's the job done.
Yeah, I don't have a good story. Maddie's case is way cooler.
Isn't it?
That's like a fancy hard case.
Okay, so Jason is going
to
Jason is going to open up his game of Tears of the Kingdom, and he's going to tell us where he is right now after he sinks his Joy-Con. He's going to tell us where he is right now and what's happening.
I'm impressed that Jason opened that with one hand.
Yeah, he didn't even set his microphone down.
I'm worried about how I'm going
to. I'm used to like holding a child. And okay, I am on the Great Plateau.
Okay.
Heard of it?
Oh, interesting. So you can go back there.
Yes.
This is the starting area from Breath of the Wild.
Yes, and so I'm in a forest. I'm in the Forest of Spirits. I just did a quest. Okay, so there is a newspaper in this game.
Yes!
There sure is.
And I just did a quest for the newspaper, and I think the problem with the newspaper quests is they really ask you to suspend your sense of disbelief.
Yeah.
Because when you talk to the newspaper guy, he says the following. He says, as you take on more stories, your base pay will obviously increase. And there are bonuses, of course.
Oh, wow.
Which is like, clearly Nintendo did not do their research on that.
We'll pay you less, and soon you're only going to have to make videos for TikTok.
Yeah. Well, they didn't include the part where Hyrule Hyrule researchers bring in AI to take over the music videos. No, but yeah, so I'm in the I just did a quest because there are a lot of quests in this game to try to find. There are a lot of these quests that the newspaper sends you on to try to figure out what happened to Princess Zelda, who is not the person you play as, Maddie.
No, unfortunately.
That's interesting. Somebody made a bet related to that.
That's true. That's sad. Someone did.
I don't know. Maybe there's a part where he plays her. I haven't found it yet.
Maybe.
And you're doing all these quests to like figure out all these Zelda appearances, and I just did one of those, which I will not spoil for you guys, but it was a cool one. It was a fun little one. And I wound up on the plateau where there's another like super weird, mysterious quest that, again, I won't tell you guys about because it's fun.
Because it's so mysterious.
Fun to discover. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. I hadn't thought to go back there to the place that you're stuck at the beginning.
You'll naturally stumble upon it because it's part of just the natural, like, you'll see, topography. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all becoming reporters as Link as well, so we're all going to naturally stumble across.
You got to cover your beat. You gotta
the seeds of the story, the Korok seeds.
What about you guys? I want to hear what you guys
All right, Maddie, you're up.
All right, let me see. Okay, I can't get this out with one hand. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Are you just going to sit there silently?
Yeah, we're going to sit here in silence and watch you. So I noticed Jason has the bright white Joy-Cons.
Yeah,
Maddie
I
has
have
the
yellow ones.
Yellow ones, which are really cool.
They were the ones that weren't out of battery when I left the house.
It's a good story.
I resisted the urge to buy that Zelda one.
Nice.
I was like, no, I don't need this.
I am in the middle of a lightning storm. About to die. So I was running around. So I did the Wind Temple, which I think we're going to talk about in a bit.
Yes,
all three
a
of us
bit.
Just so happened Spoiler to do the warning. Wind Temple first.
Yes.
And got all the way to the final boss. And I had a lot of arrows, but I didn't have a lot of stuff to attach to the arrows.
Okay.
And you really need some stuff to attach the arrows for that final boss fight. Mm-hmm. I won't say why, but you need it. And I tried a few things, and what I really, really like are those Keys eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's
nice.
Really good against that boss.
Can you tell
Maddie,
people
can,
how
I, can I tell you a tip? Can I give you a tip?
Yeah, give
me a
tip.
You don't need any arrows.
Really?
Oh, how did you beat that boss?
Do you want to know, or do you want to try to figure it out?
No, tell me.
You dive through the crystals because it's like breaking the ice on his back.
Ooh.
Oh, sure.
Multiple people in the audience are like, what?
He spent the whole level.
People are taking
that's
out their
so
switches.
Clever.
They're leaving the room. Oh, my God.
Really? And then that like does the damage?
Yeah, then that knocks out.
Oh, man. Can we just tell you all about this boss?
Yeah, okay. Let's spoil
describe it.
Can you describe
it? Because screw this guy. All right.
All right.
So. It's like a huge dragon guy, and you know how like a dragon has three different sectionals that are made out of pink ice? We all know. We've
sure.
all seen a dragon. And you know how you gotta hit the ice three times in order to get to the weak point? And there's uh-huh. three sections, and then there's gonna be a second phase where you gotta do all that right. over
dragons.
Again.
Dragons, it's just dragon
stuff.
Yeah, it's just
yeah.
dragon
classic.
Stuff.
Classic.
Yeah.
Why do I have to explain this? So I, of course, was painstakingly fusing arrows and diving and using my paraglider to perfectly time
too,
to be right in front of each little ice hunk and then hitting an arrow in the right place. Uh-huh. And it would be arcing and not quite hitting the part it needed to hit. And then eventually I was like, what am I doing? I'm just going to go farm some Keys eyeballs. Because mm-hmm. they create homing arrows. Is it homing or honing?
Homing.
Homing.
Honing.
Honing?
Homing. Champing at the
bit. Homening? Yeah. So you create yes. chomping arrows.
Right. You make chomping arrows.
And they chomp the ice. Mm-hmm. And then that's how you win. And
that's really
you
cool.
know, that's why I'm running around in a lightning storm in mm-hmm. Hyrule right now, trying to get my arrows up ship shape so I can go back up to the Sky Islands and defeat that dragon. But turns out, Jason, what could
yeah,
I have done?
You don't have to. But if you do want to get like things diffuse, you should go into one of the underground cave networks, mm-hmm. which like you can lose hours just exploring. But you can find mushrooms and attach those to your arrows just for fun. Why
really?
Not attach?
Just
mushrooms.
Make them bouncy.
And keys and stuff. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's,
really, that's I just like those Keys eyeballs. That's my favorite item.
Pretty cool.
They're right, pretty cool. Gonna, yeah, where are you, Kirk?
I'm gonna get my switch out.
Silence.
I'm doing it with one hand.
I'm not gonna talk.
This really, we didn't prep.
I wasn't helped. Black Joy-Cons.
That's like the original.
White,
Switch.
Black, yellow.
Yeah,
what
these
is
are great ones. They're very boring.
Nothing.
So I'm in a stable OLED. Right now. I took a screenshot.
You're skateboarding?
Did you just accidentally take a screenshot? Just panicking, hitting buttons.
Yeah,
where
I always
am I
forget.
Right now?
Well, I always forget which is the select button and which is the map.
Well, they changed all the buttons
the
for this one.
Button. That's true. No, they didn't.
Don't know why they did that.
So I'm in Dueling Peaks stable.
Okay. Yep.
Over by the Dueling Peaks. I haven't gone to that many stables in this game yet, but that's
well, one
where
of
I am.
The stables is actually a publication.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. It's been converted.
That's right.
Which again, a newspaper like bought.
I know
another business.
The newspaper had so much money that it acquired another business. Genuinely, have never heard of this.
Although, if you talk to the stable owner, they say that the newspaper scammed them.
I know.
Out of it.
Right.
So we'll find out.
And then
out
she's very,
like
she's very like touchy about the word.
She's like,
I didn't cheat you out of this.
Yeah.
I did it fair and square. Yep. I don't know what the story is there. Mm-hmm. I'm on my way. I'm going back to Hateno Village, which is where I am right
now.
Oh. There's some good stuff in there.
There's some good stuff.
There is. That's where this lady, what's her name? The
Cece.
Yeah, you got to get that hat. Uh-huh. You got to get that hat.
Like fungal fashion.
Do you know about the hat?
I do. I saw the Polygon article about it.
Yeah, it gives Link makeup and earrings.
I know.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
He looks so good.
It's pretty good.
Looks really good.
He looks like he could go to Gerudo and like fit in there. I haven't gotten
there. I know, but there's that outfit is not in this game. But there's a lot of other really cute right. belly shirts that you can put Link in. I'm not kidding.
Excellent.
No, it's true.
I'm serious.
It's true.
Excellent.
He really rocks it.
He looks great.
Yeah, there's a lot of side quests in this game. Are there too many? Is it overwhelming? Is it too much stuff?
No, I mean, I was overwhelmed at first, and then I started breaking it down and figuring out. And actually, it was helpful for me to do the first temple, and then from there, just be like, okay, I got that out of the way. I saw what the first dungeon was like. Now I can just go waste hours and hours, like, I don't know, petting
horses. So do you think of the Wind Temple as the first dungeon? Because first of all, I did everything
out
of order.
The game steers you that way. It's pretty much like, oh, you should go check out those Rito.
Just maybe go that way. I don't know.
You're talking to somebody...
go wherever you want, but maybe go to the Northwest.
Yeah. I went to Kakariko Village without the paraglider, and I was there for a while.
It's crazy how many people have missed it. It's really funny.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the game does give you those little yellow markers that are, like, really bright. But what if you just ignore that? And you just go where your soul takes you.
This is the pro HUD way. This is how it works. If you turn it off,
that's how you might end up not having the paraglider pretty early on.
For a very long time. And there was a while there where I was kind of wondering when we were going to get it. I was like, that is in this game, right? I
feel
like
it's funny. Am I going to have to dive into water every time I jump from a high surface?
So the really fun thing, like if you really want to just like waste time.
Oh, and I do.
Just find a bunch of those like robot Zonai devices and just like attach them to everything you can find. Attach them to your shield. If you've never attached a rocket to your shield, do that.
Yeah.
You can attach, I did a spring, you know, the spring that goes bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
Yep. Yes. As a spring is
you guys know what
do.
A spring is, right?
Yeah. Do you guys heard of this?
Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
It's a bouncy, bouncy, it's a, it's like a slinky. Mm-hmm. You guys might, okay, a spring is, all right. Wikipedia says spring is.
This is from Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, by the
Legend
way.
Legend of Zelda, made by Nintendo.
And what show is this?
You attach it to your shield, and then... And then you go surfing, and then you do the surf thing, and you'll never guess what happens.
What happens?
You go bouncy, and then it and then immediately breaks, and you can't use it again.
That's so good.
I am finding that I'm more willing to look things up for this game. Like, shout out to the Triple Click Discord. There's a lot of people. Hey, all right, we got some
good crew.
Some people are remembering the rules.
How many times have you died so far?
Several. I'd say...
Several.
Yeah, several.
Okay.
Several death Hamilton.
Okay.
I don't know, probably more than seven. I've died a few times.
Oh, my goodness.
So the... how can I do this without making everybody... Can we get... Does anybody here use the Discord for our podcast? All right, we got a few people. Shout out to them. And people are, of course, posting lots of tweets and, you know... Like people just sharing incredible things they built in the game.
Of course, yeah.
And there was a whole period where I was like, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to know.
Yeah, no, I remember that whole period. It was kind of stressful.
But now I already don't care. Because the thrill is like, I don't know, even hearing you describe that makes me want to go make something ridiculous.
Yeah, seeing the
like
tweets
that.
Makes it more enjoyable because you get ideas. And
Or you just see something you never would have even thought to make.
Yeah.
Right.
And can't even fathom. Such as the terrifying ways to torture Koroks.
I mean, there was one video. Did you guys see the video that was like the evolution of warfare? And it starts off with Link in like a little medieval wheeled cart with like a spear at the end.
Yeah.
And by the end, it graduates to like a nuclear jet plane
with
like firing bombs everywhere. You're looking at this and you're like, what is this video game?
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's
this
wild.
This is Zelda.
Yeah, it's like, is this a Zelda
like
game?
Link commits war crimes, the video.
He makes white phosphorus out of them.
Yeah, you did find that zone.
The white phosphorus dispenser. I know. I feel like it's easy to compare this game to Elden Ring. And, it's similar in some ways, and it makes me feel similar, but.
More war crimes than Elden Ring.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, you should do an Elden Ring. Well, in Elden Ring, you can't do. You find people have committed war crimes, but
that's
in
true.
Link in Zelda, you can like. I mean, the videos of people killing Koroks are just out of control.
It's worrying.
There's like people set up this elaborate like a barbecue pit with like flamethrowers, and I swear to God, like a spit roast that is just multiple Koroks just roasting over the fire.
They can't die, but they can
feel
pain.
There's one video I saw that is like, it's like, that's true. Well, it's torture forever. Yeah. One I saw that's like yeeting Koroks, and someone just built a catapult I'm just stuck a bunch. It's just like, boop, okay, goodbye.
But that's like how you solve some of the puzzles, though.
Oh, right, yeah. By
sometimes
eating
you
Korok.
Have to eat
yeah,
a Korok.
I mean, sometimes you got
to
yeah, eat a Korok gotta, over a long yeah. distance.
That's how Link justifies his crimes.
Yeah, I know. It starts small. It
you
starts
gotta solve
out being
a puzzle.
Like, they want me to. They want me to. I'm helping the Korok Nation find democracy. Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. It's a weird game. Let's get into it. Monarchies, how do we feel about them? Divine Right of Kings, heard of it?
Let's
Zelda
get into
has.
It.
What I'm saying is I'm Ganondorf. Do we feel like this Zelda is Zelda-y enough? Not to just open a huge can of worms, but...
No, that's good. I think that's a good segue.
A good
topic.
Because we were talking before... We talk outside of the show, believe it or
sometimes.
Not. We were talking before the show started about
mostly.
The dungeons, and I felt like the Wind Temple was pretty Zelda-y. Mm. You do some puzzles.
I know Jason was.
Yeah,
I
just
picking up.
Okay,
a
so I heard that like future dungeons. Actually, someone on the Discord mentioned that future dungeons are more Zelda-y. But what's not Zelda-y, I think, about the Wind Temple is that it's non-linear. It's just like here are five things,
yep.
go do them. Which
yep.
Zelda dungeons before Breath of the Wild didn't really do. Breath of the Wild did that with the Divine Beasts, where it was like little self-contained areas. Mm-hmm. A proper Zelda dungeon to me was always like a big, multi-layered, elaborate, like
and
usually pretty linear.
Solve this puzzle to get through this room.
You start off in a small area and you gradually unlock more and more over time, and by the end you're committing war crimes.
Yep.
So that to me is like the essence
that's
of Zelda.
That's a Zelda game.
Yeah.
Right.
But in this game, it's like you can commit war crimes whenever.
Anywhere, yeah. It's really just... Yeah.
So I think a distinction that I would offer that is a difference from Breath of the Wild and something that we talked about with Breath of the Wild is that you do have an ability that is unique to the dungeon or is introduced and then is essential for solving the puzzles in it.
Yep.
In the case of this first one, you get this wind ability from this little guy. What's his name, the little guy?
Talon.
He's such a good little guy.
Yeah,
he's
good
adorable.
Little guy.
And he follows you around, which is cool. He's like actually there in the dungeon with you.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of...
Not even complaining.
Even
if you're taking
a
really long time to solve something,
so,
for example.
You mentioned something about it not being Zelda-y enough. I haven't played every Zelda game, but that is actually unusual, to just have an NPC walking around with you. Like the lonesome puzzle solving, like I'm all by myself in this ancient wreck, that is kind of a Zelda feeling.
Yeah.
And it is dispelled by this little guy as much as I love him.
Yeah, there are a couple of games when you have a little guy coming around.
A little guy.
You. And usually you have like a companion.
Fairy?
Like
I guess there's Navi.
Yeah,
like
Navi
Zelda.
Or Fee.
How could you not
like
love Navi?
Minna.
Mm-hmm. A little different, I guess, than like actually walking around. But I suppose it sounds like that
sometimes
does
sometimes there's someone. There's a great dungeon in Link to the Past. How many of you guys have played The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past? Classic game. There's one great dungeon
where,
like...
Should we just say popular video game titles?
Mario,
you
heard of it?
Is that how we do it?
Yeah. Triple
Dark Souls!
That was great.
That was good. They
good
were
job.
Ready.
Yeah, there's one great dungeon. Spoilers. 30-year-old spoilers. But you have to
Ganondorf
rescue...
Wins.
You rescue someone. You rescue this this lady like halfway through the dungeon.
You rescue a lady in a Zelda game?
I know. It's crazy, right?
Wow.
And she's like, thank you for saving me, Link. Let me follow behind you. And then you're following her. And then you get to this other room, and there's a big like open like ray of light, and it shines on her. And she's like, ah! And it turns out she's the boss of the dungeon.
Oh, nice.
But
okay.
She's following
Classic.
You for a chunk of that. And yeah, there have been a few times, but you're right that it's pretty unusual to have like a dude who you can like summon on to use powers,
right, to use
and does abilities.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's weird.
And I gather that like you're gonna get three other companions for the three other temples, I assume. And
yeah, and they're all gonna follow you for the whole game silently. Mm-hmm. It'll be
is
weird.
That actually true?
No.
Do you kind of
or
cycle through them? Well, this
well.
This,
it,
yeah,
well, you haven't beaten the dungeon
me.
Yet.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen.
Have I?
I guess you edited every single polygon guide,
well,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a very weird position where I like know a lot, but then I don't know the context of it, which is always like a fun way to play a game that is not relatable. I don't know why I'm mentioning this, but
you
know
how
when you edit a lot of guides?
Yeah, everybody out there knows.
Yeah,
they
everyone
know.
Knows.
They know.
But I really feel like this game is unspoilable, and I said that to you guys before
it
was out. Because there's so many different things that you can make, and that's the joy of it.
I think that's an essential quality of this game, even compared to Breath of the Wild, where we were talking about videos before and avoiding watching them.
Yes.
With Elden Ring, I would avoid it because it would be like, here's this crazy boss, and
yeah.
I'd be like, oh, whoa, I kind of wanted to be surprised by that.
Yeah, like be revealed, have it revealed to me and figure out the way to beat it.
Right. And then they'd show you like someone doing something incredible, you know, beating the boss without getting hit, or some incredible moveset or something. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm probably never going to do that. But it's just very different than in this game where they're like, here's this insane thing I built that you would never think of in a million years. And now you've thought of it because I showed it to you. And I would, you know, I'll watch those and be like, oh, awesome, I'm actually going to try to do that. It just is a really different
And then you do it and like you put the fan slightly too far to the right. And it just flips over and the entire thing gets set on fire.
Do you think, so there's one ability that you unlock a little farther into the game in the depths that's like, what's it called? It's like auto build.
Yep.
And so you then get blueprints for anything you've ever built. So it makes it a lot easier eventually.
Not any. Well, you can like save things and you have a backlog that like runs out eventually.
Do you think there's no way to share those right now, is there?
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Not like Animal Crossing QR codes
Nintendo?
Or whatever.
No, multiplayer? But that would be good what idea. Are you talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
It would be very, very cool if they came up with a way that you could do that, because then, you know, you could post the tweet with the video and then like actually post the whatever the code at the end so that you could download the thing and build it yourself.
Yeah, that would be smart. Man, you should work at Nintendo.
I should send this is a free idea.
You should send them an email being like, my name is Kirk Hamilton.
I just have a few thoughts. I really like Tears of the Kingdom.
I only died 7 times while playing Return.
They'd definitely take me seriously then. Be like, look, you might not know who I am.
Yeah.
You know Returnal? You heard of it? 7 times.
It was when it first came out. Shigeru like Miyamoto. When it was still really hard.
Oh my goodness. Okay, what are we going to talk about? I have an outline here that I wrote down.
And we're
it's
following
going great.
It to the letter. All that stuff about S2 at the beginning, that was all there.
It says we're supposed to talk for only a couple more minutes. Korok no way. Poop. Yeah. Opening, right. Just talk about torturing Koroks for a little while. Discuss the Rito quest. Okay, we did that. The depths, yeah. Okay, amazing little details. We didn't talk that much about details on the episode that went up today.
It's true.
But there are a lot of little details in this game.
Cooking is so great now.
Oh, I just... Sorry, go ahead.
Why do you think cooking... One of my details is that.
But yes, go ahead. First of all, Link sings little songs.
He sure does. That's one of my favorite details.
And they're mostly songs from, I think they're all from Ocarina of Time originally. I mean, we know them all now.
I'm not actually sure.
I think they're from the series, just like various remixes.
He sings Epona's song.
He sings like a little bit of Epona, a little bit of Song of Storms, a little bit of Zelda's Lullaby. Yeah. Classics. It's just really cute. He sings a different song for every kind of meal. It's just cute.
Yeah.
And the recipes are nice.
The recipes
are nice. So I just noticed, okay, I discovered this today. While playing, not that I was playing during the work day instead of doing
Any Uber people
listening
to this.
It's on your lunch break.
Hope my bosses aren't here. I noticed today that like when there's a blood moon, so when the screen goes all red, and
so scary now.
A blood moon is like this phenomenon in the game, and it's super scary. And then all the enemies come back to life. But I was in a stable when this happened, and when the blood moon is starting to rise, you see all these like red tentacle, red fires everywhere, and it's super spooky. The dog at the stable started barking. And then he stopped barking when the blood moon ended and like started rolling over. It's just this little thing. This dog is like really mad about
the
blood moon.
Yeah, the dog's
moon,
like,
this is
messed up. Have you guys seen this? Crazy.
Is there really not a way to pet the dogs in this game?
No.
Well,
I'm sure this has been discussed on social media.
If you build a giant hand.
Go on, I'm listening.
Then you smack it a couple of times. I don't know how softly you can pet it, but you can do anything in this game.
That's true. You can do anything.
But it is weird that you have an ability called Ultra Hand, but you can't actually use it.
I know.
What happens if you use Ultra Hand on a dog? Anything? Nothing? Has anyone tried this?
No, I don't think it does.
You can run in a circle around the dog, and it does little hearts.
Right. It like will roll over for you, and it does all these amazing little doggy animations. It rolls over and shows you its belly, and you can't rub its belly.
I know. Which is why the game sucks.
It makes me very sad. It really would
have. You'll have to resort to petting your real dog in real life. Oh God, what are you gonna do?
I feel like if I were actually trying to come up with a list of like likes and dislikes for review for this game, it'd be hard to come up with any
graphics.
Dislikes. And dislikes would be like you can't rub the dog's belly.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
No button remapping, and you can't pet the dog's belly.
I do love that Link hums the songs from Zelda.
Yep.
And then that made me wonder, are the Zelda songs canon in the world of Zelda?
They are, because he plays them on the Ocarina.
Yeah, he plays them.
Because he played them on an Ocarina.
So they are canon.
Mm-hmm, we've heard them a lot. He does hum the Zelda theme.
Yep.
Like the main Zelda theme. I don't know. Does he ever play that in any of the games?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. That's the one.
That
that's
one?
You guys are singing totally different songs.
Oh, are we? Wait, no, you go. You go.
Yeah, the
what do you consider? Oh, that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does he?
I don't know.
I think so.
Now he does. So
yeah,
now it's canon.
Now he does.
That was just a question I had.
You probably could if you're like in the N64 game and you like do different variations on the ocarina. You could probably create it, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
True. You probably play just about anything. All right. Well, we asked our Discord. The Discord.
I feel like a
podcast.
YouTube channel for you just got started here. Yeah. Like, yeah. Could play just about anything.
What could you play on an ocarina?
On the ocarina.
I feel like that's probably already been done.
Almost certainly.
Giant Steps on the Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. Ocarina. I'm sure that's out there.
Dueling banjos, etc.
All right, so we asked our Discord for some questions for the show. By we, I mean I, earlier
Thanks.
Today. And we got a few questions, so I'm going to ask them to both of you.
Okay.
This one will be for Maddie first. This comes from Dr. Synthesizer, which is a great username.
It is.
Would be a great band name as well.
It
Dr. Synthesizer asks, if you got fused to one of Link's items, what benefits would you confer?
Can people be fused?
In this world, they can.
Okay.
In this hypothetical.
But I mean, in Tears, can they be?
I don't know. I guess Koroks can. Are Koroks people?
No. You,
well, no, because...
You can't fuse
Koroks. Oh, you can... You're right.
That,
you're right, though. I know
that would be crazy. Oh,
you can fuse their backpacks.
You have to use their backpacks.
Right, but
you
not
can't,
them.
You can't use Ultra
Wait,
Hand
you're,
on
right.
a
you
horse.
Fuse,
on living thing.
Wait, hold on. You can fuse a Korok like to your sword?
No, you can't. You can't.
No, that's a... Yeah, no, you can't
fuse.
You're thinking of Ultra
Hand.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They're confusing.
So this is a difficult question for me because that's not how groan. Fuse works. And so I'm just stuck
you better
on
stick that,
that
groan in and editing.
That's why we recorded it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go ahead, sir. We're getting distracted.
I mean, I still have no good answer. I guess I'm just gonna fuse myself with a key sideball so I'd always know where to go.
Okay. All right.
What about you? Wait, are you guys not going to answer this?
Wait, no,
what's
Jason's
going to
answer.
The question is,
what benefit would you get?
Would I
if
get
you were fused
if
to
I
a
refuse
sword?
With a knife? Oh, yeah. Well, if I refuse with a sword, is that
yeah.
what you said? Well, I'd be really sharp, I guess.
Oh.
I'd be on right. a sword.
That's
in
true.
The game, I would just be like sort of balanced on the top of it.
Right, but what benefit would you give Link, like plus whatever
oh, I
to
see.
The sword?
Yeah.
I don't know, not understanding questions very well.
That would be
That's
helpful.
Good. All right. Jason, what benefit would
I
you
I think I would just yell at enemies to death.
Yeah.
just scream at them until
yeah,
they...
Just scream yeah, just scream at them.
Nice.
What about you?
I don't know. I would interrupt.
You would make it so Link can't die.
I would.
Yeah.
yeah. No, I would interrupt
you'd
fights to like
skills.
Issue corrections.
Okay.
I would bing my way into.
You'd
fight.
Be like, "Champ!" Oh, yeah.
The sword
bing.
Like interrupts, and it's
well,
like,
that would,
"Actually,
that's recall." You basically have recall.
Oh, okay, sure.
yeah.
For our podcast,
that's
I like
true.
That.
That's true.
You do.
I was thinking about that. I should come up with a way to bing into this live.
I know.
To, like,
but you didn't come
something.
Up with a way.
But I didn't come.
You
up
didn't
with
hire
a, way.
A perfect doppelganger of yourself to run on stage and interrupt. With a correction?
No. It would be amazing because, like, if I did it, like, the moment of the bing, when I'm recording the bing, this is when I interrupt the show to correct something, the two of you aren't there.
I know.
So I have the show all to myself. And
it's really, you are
you
a
can
god.
Do anything.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like playing God. You have to be very responsible.
I mean,
that.
We already trust you to edit the show as it
Which is.
Like, you could
serious responsibility.
Edit out important context yeah. or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
we never
Put words
know.
Together, make us say anything.
Yeah, That's I know.
True. So I would make the sword very powerful. Is what we're saying.
You yeah. could, yeah, you could.
I would give it full editing
it's
power.
A real
cancel anybody.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Just delete things.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question comes from Frisky Dingus, also a very good username. Frisky Dingus asks, "What is the best town/area theme music?" It's a little bit of a tough one because I
Zelda
haven't seen
or in any game.
In this game, in
any
Tears
real
of the
town.
Well, have you
in
any in real town? Okay, this is my answer for both Zelda and real life.
Okay.
Tarrytown.
Yeah, that's good.
Which, by the way, I was wondering this on Twitter the other day. So there's, you guys are going to get this because we're in New York. You guys might not get this because you're foreigners. But there's an area of the game called Tarrytown, and the mayor of Tarrytown is named Hudson. Like, what the heck? Like, is Nintendo based in Westchester? You guys don't get it. Don't
that was some regional humor from Jason. For all of
some
us.
New York humor.
So is Hudson the president, the guy that the sign guy is? Yeah, yeah. Addison president is trying Hudson. To hold
and,
up?
And you meet him in the first game. I never did that quest, but like he's a big part of building the whole thing. Okay. And so that's why they worship him, which is a little weird. That they,
sure.
That Addison is like really.
He's
into
really
that
into
guy.
The boss of his company. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to Tarrytown.
Anyway, Tarrytown is really good music, is what I'm trying to say.
Nice. Any favorites?
Oh, I really like the Depths music. It's spooky and cool.
It is cool.
And
very
it's
minimal.
New. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kirk, I know we were talking early on about the preview for the game, and you were like, it kind of seems like it's a lot of the same music. But there's a lot of new music.
There is. They front load a lot of the new music, too.
They do.
And
mm-hmm.
this, of course, is not a surprise to anybody, but all the Sky music is very saxophony.
It is.
There's so much saxophone happening. Some lovely alto sax player is like in their ensemble playing.
And
the
Depths music is new too, and very, it's cool. And
it is cool.
Creepy.
The Depths are cool. They're
the Depths
scary.
Are cool.
Yeah, I'm a
They're
fan.
Cool. Even Did though they poison
the,
you.
Oh, I guess you guys published the tip from Russ Frushtick that if
That's
you're
correct.
In the Depths, you shouldn't use arrows.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To attach them to the
seas.
Just throw them.
Throw them.
Totally didn't think of that until I saw it on the internet.
Yeah. Stop wasting arrows down there, guys. See, I shouldn't be wasting arrows at all. I need to just be diving and throwing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot today.
Yeah. Mm. Diving and throwing
stuff. I'm
going to
beat that ice dragon, guys, right after.
Can you
this.
Do it right now?
You could do
stage.
It while we.
Can you imagine?
A lot of pressure.
It would be
I'm just
gripping.
Silent for the rest of the show. Just
yeah.
Like concentrating.
It would be gripping because
be
we don't have a Switch dock, so
no.
Like,
right.
nobody
no,
would watch you.
Be able to see it.
And we of course, wouldn't say anything.
No, so. Right. no. Well, because I'd need to concentrate.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this a type of Twitch streaming, like where people play us like a handheld Switch and describe what's happening?
I
would maybe watch
ASMR,
that.
Yeah.
I could see that catching on and becoming very popular with the
in
kids.
A bathtub.
So we had one other. I don't know why it's so popular, but they're getting so many views. We had one more question. This was from a couple of people. Ellie and Space Dog also asked this question or version of it about the future of Zelda, which I thought would be a good topic for us. Mm-hmm. The question is basically, what direction do y'all see the series going after this one? Like, is this a sign of where Zelda is going in the future? Are they all going to be this way, like the next 3D Zelda? Or are there going to be no more 2D Zeldas?
The next 16 Zeldas are just more DLC for Breath of the Wild.
It just gets
more
and more elaborate.
Right.
I mean,
more
this
Breath
one sold 10 million copies in 3 days.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah.
Really? Do you really
so what
think
is that,
though?
100%. I mean, they said in an interview, actually, Eiji Onuma, the producer of the series, said that this is like this level of freedom is what they're going for. I don't think they'll do another one set in the same map.
Well,
the way
that's,
that these
yeah.
did. But but I think they'll go for the same like physics and building things and big open world that you can climb and everything, which I think is cool. It would be cool if they also did like 2D Zeldas that were a little more traditional, like to supplement them. Sort of like how Square Enix has like Final Fantasy games that are big 3D action games and also has like Octopath Traveler, which is
and how Metroid does that like once every
exactly.
17 years.
Yeah,
you'll get...
once every four presidents. When
yeah,
you get
yeah,
a Metroid.
Yeah. You get like a 2D and a 3D Metroid, and then the millennia pass again.
But yes, I think that's the answer. I think like Breath of the Wild has sold 30 million copies, where like before that, the hot best-selling Zelda game was like 8 million copies.
If
so we're talking about stratosphere.
Do you think like, I don't know, taking this to its logical conclusion, we basically wind up with Minecraft? Like if they, you know, they just keep going to where you can like fully destroy the world and build like any kind of building out of anything that you want to. Like, is that the direction they have to keep going now, basically, that they've established, okay, we're doing more freedom in the next one, so in the next one, it's going to be even more free.
What does that even look like, though?
I don't know. It looks like Minecraft.
Yeah. I'm just going to do the wild card and say I don't think they're going to keep going with this. I mean, I think they will to an extent, but I also think Nintendo just likes to do weird spin-offs.
Yeah.
There's like 4 Tingle games that like no one talks about. Like, I feel like they're just going to do something totally different and weird, and everyone will be like, why did they do that?
Well,
and
upset
I'll
everyone.
It.
Yeah. It's kind of like don't you have a prediction about the Switch, like the follow-up to
the
Switch is not going to be...
Yeah, the Switch is not going to be like anything like the Switch.
Right, like it won't be backward compatible.
It'll be like goggles that you have to wear.
Yeah.
Like a VR headset.
Right. It's kind of like, is Nintendo going to stay true to form
right,
and keep
or just
sort of flummoxing everyone with weird decisions
but they can,
that make
I mean,
everybody
Tears
mad.
Of the Kingdom, like, people looked at that and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing the sequel in the same world.
Yeah, that was so surprising.
But then you play it and it feels like a totally different game, I think.
It does. Like
with similar aesthetic similarities.
It depends on what you're doing in the game, because it's kind of 6 different games. When I'm just walking
That's
around
true.
Doing Korok puzzles and stuff, there are times where I'm like, I'm feeling overwhelmed just because I feel like I didn't even finish Breath of the Wild. There was so much of it. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing that again.
And now there's three times as much.
He didn't know what Korok seeds really were, Jason.
Yeah, that's true. Man, Kirk.
He didn't know what they were.
No, it's true. Now I don't want any more.
Yeah, man.
I'm at my limit.
Gotta get those inventory slots out.
Not hygienic.
So one related question that occurred to me upon reading this question is, what is Mario going to do?
Yeah, is he okay? Has anybody checked in on that guy?
Yeah. I mean, his movie did pretty well, so that's probably true. Feeling pretty good about
that. He's probably doing okay.
But, like, what are they going to do with Mario? Like, is the follow-up to Mario Odyssey going to be similar, where it, like, takes the same ideas and then blows
build
them out? And
well, I think he's going to go to business school for a few years, then maybe launch a startup.
Like, does Nintendo become a company that makes games about making stuff in the game? Like, are they going to lean into that? Because it does so well, and it's so shareable and interesting, and, like, makes people want
to
play the game.
Take a gap year in Europe, go off to find himself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think Mario's going to do?
I don't know.
I think, well, Mario Odyssey was an interesting kind of spin on that whole formula.
Spun his hat. That was a reference to Cappy.
Yeah.
The hat spinning through the air.
Yeah, another groan for Kirk Campbell.
I liked it.
Thanks. Thank you, Maddie.
Yeah.
I like how it was your idea to conjure the groans from the audience.
I'm really going to use them when I'm editing.
Only for you. They're being very supportive.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
What is
I mean,
Santa's
you're the future Nintendo employee.
Oh, that's true. Should have the ideas. I don't know. It would be weird, I think, if Mario became more of a creative game. It just feels like they're moving in that direction.
Okay, but yeah, Mario
I don't
think Maker, it'll be y'all. That. Like,
okay,
it is.
Okay, fair.
More of a creative game.
But that's its own entity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no idea what they'll do for the next Mario. But I think the Mario Odyssey model is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, like, being able to collect moons in the world and not getting sent back to, like, a level select screen, I think is pretty effective.
Yeah, I'm very interested in what that series does next. I've always been more of a Zelda person than a Mario person. But
yeah,
wow, everybody got really quiet.
Like, Samus started making stuff.
We're all just thinking about Mario.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Like, that little plumber.
This is like the moment when we like bring
really
things down.
Really makes us happy.
Just talk about Mario. We're living in the
Never
home
of
the
of
Mario.
Guy.
We're there right now. We're in Brooklyn, New York.
We are in Brooklyn.
Are you saying he's here?
Yeah, probably. I don't know, Mario, are you here?
And it's No, we don't have. Can you imagine if just Chris Pratt walked out?
So Chris Pratt is Mario now.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man. Not my Mario.
Hashtag.
They're with me. The people are with me.
I did see Waluigi in front before I came in.
Yeah. So. Oh no.
But we don't know
oh,
if
no.
he came in.
But I didn't want to acknowledge it. You don't want to make eye contact with Waluigi. Yeah.
No, that guy. He'll never let you go if you start talking to him.
Yeah.
So
I know.
So awkward.
On and on. Yeah.
Well, this is normally the time of the show where we take a break and then we do one more thing. Okay. So I suppose let's take a break, and then we'll be back with one more thing.
Okay. I mean, I brought my Switch.
Nice.
I'm glad you said that because nobody says that.
Can I just say thank you to you for such a thoughtful interview?
Oh my God, yeah, I think you nailed it.
Bullseye, interviews with creators you love and creators you need to know. Listen to the Bullseye podcast only from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
Listen, you like podcasts, right? Sure you do. Don't try and lie to me. You're listening to one right now, so why not try a different one called R1, The Flophouse?
Uh-huh, and on The Flophouse, we watch a movie and talk about it. And then sometimes we also do other stuff.
It's all meant to be funny and fun, and we think you'll have a good time. And just to be clear, the name of the podcast is not R1, The Flophouse. It's just called The Flophouse. I do a lot of correcting, Dan.
The Flophouse. A lot of correcting, Dan.
All right, and we're back. Hey, look.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Sorry, Jason was already. We normally actually do. We just go right back after the break. You think that we're taking a break, but we don't usually take a break. We just keep talking.
Every now and then.
I can't believe you're telling them
like,
that we lie to them every week.
I know. That's kind of true. We shouldn't say we're taking a break.
What should we say?
Now for some Maximum Fun Network promos.
I mean, that's honest.
Right. We should keep it totally 100 with them. We're really going to do one more thing, and then we'll take some questions from you all. So be thinking of your questions. I'll tell you now, as you think of your questions, we have two guidelines. We can make them rules. We have two rules. One, keep it kind of short if you can. A lot of people will probably want to ask questions. And two, have a question.
There has to be a question.
Sounds simple, but...
Be sure that there is a question at the end. Your voice should go up. If you wrote it out, there would be a question mark. Okay, so be thinking. We'll call on you all in a moment. One more thing. Maddie, why don't you go first?
Sure. So I... this is a while ago, but it's still impacting my life every day. I recently purchased a dual monitor arm for my two monitors. And installing it was terrifying, but worth it. I did have to balance the monitors very carefully.
Like while you screw in the
thing. Can you explain what a dual monitor arm is?
Okay. So, you know, normally a monitor just is on a piece of plastic.
Yeah. Little foot. And
there's only so much you can do about how tall it is. And so, for example, if you're very short, if you're me, your monitor might be too high no matter what you do. And you might really want it to be a lot lower. And there's absolutely nothing for it. Unless you get a monitor arm, which is basically a lever. So it has multiple... I'm making motions. This is an audio podcast. It's That's a lever. Right. So you can adjust the monitor to be whatever height you want. And you can even pull it like really close to your face for some reason if you wanted to.
Yeah. It's immersive stretchy. Gaming. It's very immersive.
You can put it up Googling really freaking high. Yeah. You could put it like way off to the side. You could like angle them. I have them angled right now because I don't have a curved monitor like Kirk does.
Can't all be fancy.
I know. But hey, I'm feeling pretty fancy now because I'm not straining my neck every freaking day. But again, terrifying. Have you two ever installed a monitor arm?
Oh man, yes. Unlike some large monitors, and
it's scary, isn't it?
You're like holding it up and
screaming. Yeah, you're
like,
I got this.
I'm gonna drop it on its face, and it's
you're
gonna
not
be
thinking about how expensive the monitor was. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking about that.
I find I have used various monitor arms.
Yep.
And like the better you get the ergonomics on your desk, especially if you play video games at your desk.
Oh my god.
Like the more I'm like, okay, so soon I'm just gonna be lying down in bed with like a monitor extended over my eyes while I just like totally relax and play. And they make like gaming
like
beds that are like
in
that.
Gelatin, yeah. Like immobile, like no body parts.
Because once you start,
anything.
It's like this could be a little more comfortable.
I know.
This could be a little more.
I know.
Kirk, your future is like the people in WALL-E.
Yeah. Fully.
Yes. 100%. With just like a straw for my soft drink and just float around in my chair. Yeah, it'll be great.
I think I'm done. I mean, we'll see. But I feel like between this and my Herman Miller chair, I'm like,
you're
I can't get
it.
Better than this.
You always think you're done, but then there's something else.
I know.
You're never done.
I don't know what it is. But for now, I'm very, very happy with it. And
nice.
I do know quite a few people who are like, I'm scared to install it. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
So you wish you had Link Ultra Hand?
Oh God, yes.
Oh my God.
God, can you imagine? Yeah. And then just a bunch of Gorilla Glue on
right,
the back.
Weird green stuff.
Your gross green glue everywhere.
Green goop.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. Monitor arms. All right, that's Maddie's
worth
one
it.
More thing.
Worth
Jason,
it.
What's your one more thing?
I have been rewatching a TV show called BoJack Horseman.
It's a good show.
Fantastic
Heard of it.
Show. Fantastic yeah. show. It's a really good rewatch because like you notice a lot of things on rewatch. For
yeah,
people
like
aren't
the guy's
familiar,
a horse.
It's a show about a depressed horse. It does have
you
a
finally,
horse.
You're like, wait a minute.
You realize, you're like, wait a minute.
His name
is a horse.
I thought he was a man, but it turns out he's a horse. Who has sex with human women.
Yeah.
It's just never,
it's just,
never explained.
It's just not a thing.
A couple of funny things I noticed on this rewatch. One is that there's like a lot of little details you notice. So there's this important scene in the second season where he has to say the line, how did you, or what are you doing here? And he can't do it right. But then throughout the rest of the season, every time he like finds someone, he's like, what are you doing here? And he like does it in like different versions that actually would have worked perfectly. And then you notice like little things like how in the background of episodes, there are like these fake movie posters, including my favorite, which is for a movie called Uncle Cuck. And it's Uncle Cuck starring Robert Downey Jr., And Channing Tatum. not Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, that sounds good.
No, it is Robert Downey Jr. Someone like that. Yeah. Robert De Niro.
Even better.
Same
even
thing.
Even funnier.
Same thing.
Same guy. Yeah.
And Robert De Niro is like, and it's like the tagline is, someone's getting cucked. And then in the next season, there's another poster, and it's called Son of Cuck. So just a very enjoyable show to watch, to rewatch. Highly, highly recommend some BoJack Horseman.
One of the
so
best
it holds
jokes,
up very well.
One of the best jokes on that show is that George Clooney is named George Clooners.
George Clooners, and he's a prank official.
Yeah, an unstoppable prankster. And anytime I hear about George Clooney, I'm like, ah, George.
George.
That prankster. Well, my one more thing is also a show. We have a physical object and two television shows this week. A show called Somebody Somewhere on HBO. Okay. Everyone applauding right now knows what they're talking about. This show is super great, and I don't think that many people watch it or know about it. So that is why I'm making it my one more thing. I might have made it a one more thing earlier, but then clearly I didn't
because
maybe people just don't listen to me.
No, I do.
You would remember.
It doesn't
sound familiar.
I feel
like I would remember.
Okay. So Somebody Somewhere stars an actor named Bridget Everett and another actor named Jeff Heller. It was co-created by two people who haven't made that many things, and it's kind of like if Schitt's Creek was about actual down-and-out people in Kansas. So it's like not a really elevated comedy where it's like super funny and comedians being ridiculous. It's like about actual people, but it's very, very funny. It's about a woman who returns home to her small town in Kansas, kind of to her like family who are having all kinds of problems, and she's just sort of lost her way and is back in town, and she strikes up a friendship with this guy. So his name is Joel, her name is Sam. And it's kind of, I think the blurb described the show as the great platonic love story returns for season two, and they're now in their second season. And so it's basically a platonic love story. It's the story of these two people falling in friend love with one another. And I honestly, like all of you here, go watch Somebody Somewhere. It's so good. My sister recommended it to me, and I'd never even heard of it.
Kirk's sister, noted for discovering Yellow Jackets
before
anyone else.
That's true. Amanda Hamilton, shout out. She hits me to a lot of good shows, and she was like, you got to watch this show, Somebody Somewhere. And I kept being like, yeah, whatever, I don't know what that is, I've never heard of it. It doesn't sound like there's any cannibalism or anything, so I'm not going to watch it. You would actually be surprised.
Platonic cannibalism.
It's the show. Yeah. Only platonic cannibalism is true. But no, it's really, really wonderful. It's just one of the best friendships I've seen. And I don't know, I've been a lot of shows are kind of disappointing right now. Ted Lasso has just become like a giant mess right now. I don't know, maybe not everyone agrees with me about that. But
I'm still just watching season
really
after season of Below Deck.
So it's just gotten very sloppy. This is a widely...
What did you say you're watching, Manny?
I mentioned Below Deck and the people.
Oh my goodness. We have actually become a Below Deck household.
Oh, finally.
Emily is fully obsessed, and I've been watching it.
I'm converting more and more people to Below Deck.
Below Deck is actually great.
It is really good.
One day, I was going to make that one more thing, but I haven't watched quite enough.
You're talking about like a HBO show.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Feelings and...
So it is it is wonderful anyways, and a lot better than some of the other things we've been watching. So anytime I watch it, I think more people should watch this show. HBO, I'm sure, will cancel it.
What's
after
it called?
Two.
Remind us what it's called.
It's called Somebody Somewhere. It's on HBO, and it's really good.
Cool.
All right, well, normally this is where we would end our show, but
we're
not going to
end our show.
We're not going to end our show. We're going to take some questions. So there is a microphone here, a wireless microphone, and I think we probably should just have people ask questions. If you want to come around. All right, we've got one ready to go. And maybe, just grab it and maybe hand it to the... So why don't we make an orderly queue and remember the rules.
Orderly.
And, yes, orderly. It looks very orderly so far. All right.
All right.
And let's get going. And say your name before
Hi, my name is Danny. I'm DannyEXE on the Discord.
Oh, all right.
Hello.
Discord user.
Yeah.
First up. Hey, man.
Shout out, guys. Anyway, my question, and this is one where you can insert a groan. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys for the Suikoden remasters?
We have massive
and do you kind of wish you had waited?
How
10?
Excited are we?
Well,
we got a 10 there.
We did just play them.
Yeah, so I would say that I'm kind of like a 3 or something because we spent all
10?
This time replaying Suikoden 2. That now I'm like, well, I'm not going
to... But aren't you excited to play the good version now?
I mean, I say this now, but right, in a year I'll be like, oh, so I'm replaying Suikoden 2. It's actually really
secret,
good.
Oh, that'd be a good secret replay.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Or Suikoden 3.
Well,
or
it's Maddie's turn, so Maddie has to figure this out, but...
What is there to say? Yeah. You know,
1 to 10. You got to give us a number.
Zero. I'm not excited. It's a zero. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
No. I'll give it a 2.
Okay.
Because I'm not gonna play it, but I do think it's cool that they're fixing the translation issues, which were one of my biggest hurdles in that
Significant.
Game. Serious answer.
Yes.
But okay. Unserious answer is 0. And also serious answer is now 0.
Okay. So a 0, a 3, and a 10 to answer your question. Let's get our next question.
Hi, guys. My name's Brandon. Abraham. First time, long time, all that. All of you, either all of you currently work or have worked in games journalism world. What's an idea for an article or a piece that you loved that for some reason just wasn't published or you never got to write? Darling of yours.
Everyone looks at Jason. We're just like, so what are the scoops reveal?
No, for me, it's going to be like the stupidest shit. Like stuff that was at Kotaku. I would always do like dumb things.
Yeah. You wrote R.I.P. Luigi.
I have one.
When I ranked review scores, I think number one was 6.
Yeah.
And then it was all like...
Oh, that's right. That was good. We pretty much got to publish a lot of the dumb ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a serious one. I would totally read a like really deeply reported piece about what it's like to work at FromSoft. Because I don't think I've ever seen that, and it's never... like. So I just would love to read
Step one, learn Japanese.
Yes, yeah. That's one of the reasons it hasn't been published. But I would read it. Like I would love to see that. So that is a piece that I've never seen and would love to see.
Yeah,
but these two are editors are working on it, and they're going to have to give away their story ideas.
What, I'm going to try to publish these things.
Yeah, right. You're still working on it.
All the answers I could
give. A Guide to the Shrines in Legend of Zelda.
we're working on those shrines, folks. Pour one out for the Polygon Guides team.
I mean, you guys are doing a valuable service.
You really are.
Oh, yeah.
You really are. So I think I would just be like, well, I would go back in time and like get to review all the Metroid games for the first time or something. You do it now. You're thinking about the cultural context.
Right.
But there's something cool about having to get a game for the first time. But we can never mimic.
You could be like one of those people who hated Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of people who hated it.
I loved it even then. Yeah. Okay. So I wouldn't have been one of those people.
No. I just meant you could have been.
I could have been. I could have been.
But you never
would have
been.
I still could be.
That's true.
When I go back in time.
All right, you're up. Next question.
Hey, my name's Danny. My question is there a job or hobby that you think would make a good video game? Very quick example, I really like photography in video games.
So Pokemon Snap.
Or Zelda the Camera Rune. Real quick, just also Ace Attorney, like being a lawyer is a good example. Is there any job or hobby that you think would make a good game but has not been made into a game?
I think a really
yet.
Fun one would be being a like stage manager. Like like doing lights and sound and stuff for like different live shows, and so you have to do that, and that's the game is like can you put together.
Or like being a director and having to emotionally manipulate all of your performers.
Yeah. That would be great.
I think there should be a game where you're an IT guy and like 90% of the problems are just have you checked that it's plugged in? Have you turned it off and turned it on again?
Is there a hairstyling game? That would be really, really fun. Like where you have to kind of like
get also really like good not mess it up because once you cut, you can't go back
All
that. And you have to deal with an unhappy client afterwards. Right.
Always the magic of like getting your hair cut in The Witcher where you go and you're like, I want long hair, and then he just gets long hair. You can't do that in this game. That would be cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Hi, my name's Steve. I'm wondering if Nintendo were to now make a Legend of Zelda movie, what Chris Pratt-level surprise voice actor would you pick, and which New York City borough accent would they have?
Oh, man, okay. Who would play Link?
Steve Buscemi.
Gilbert Gottfried is playing. People with the least Link-like
voices. I think Gilbert Gottfried's dead.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
They can like have an AI.
Man, you're learning a lot of new things tonight. Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried, car exceeds.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He did die.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Kristen Stewart. I just think she'd be good.
All right. She could be anybody. All right. So, Steve Buscemi, Kristen Stewart, or an AI recreation of Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Who's to say?
Those are our answers. Next question, please.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Valerie.
I like your shirt.
Thank you.
The shirt says, do you want to tell us what your shirt says?
It says, you wouldn't download a video game.
In the classic font.
Yeah. Very good.
I think I got it on Hard Times.
Good. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Good website.
Good site.
It's your job to find time to play video games. And I was wondering, with so many video games, how is it you guys... excuse to yourself devoting time to get good at, for example, FromSoft games or fighting games or a lot of times FPS, if you're not playing a lot of them, you kind of lose the skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you're devoting a lot of time to a single game, how do you stop the other games from whispering in your ears?
Man, it's a good question.
This is hard.
And a hard one. One that we don't always have a good answer to.
Because it's sort of a multifaceted question. Because it's like, how do you find the time or justify the time, especially when there are other games?
Yeah.
I'm really thinking about this because Street Fighter VI is about to come out. And I've gone through periods of time in my life, pre-Dina, where all I would do is play Street Fighter. And I wasn't playing any other games. I would just play Street Fighter. And I'm kind of like, I don't think that could be me anymore. I feel like I'm not 19 years old anymore. So that's one key difference. But I don't know. Do you, you haven't maybe had that experience, but have you ever had a moment of just being like, wow, I just want to play this one game to the exclusion of everything else I've ever been interested in?
I mean, Destiny for a bit.
Yeah, for both of you.
Yeah.
Don't cheer for Destiny. Come on.
Yeah, what's going on? You guys okay?
No, it's okay. Destiny's cool.
Yeah, I definitely had that for Destiny when I was working at Kotaku.
I remember,
I should play other things, but you like kept getting sucked
back in. Just like, I remember I would be with Destiny 1. I remember I would be sitting in our living room when my wife and I lived in Manhattan pre-kids. And I would be playing on the headset, and once she was like to me, it sounds like you hate that game. Why do you keep playing? Because all I would do is talk to Kirk and the rest of our rating buddies like, about how awful it was. Like, oh my God, friggin'
horrible
Destiny.
Drops. Yeah, yeah. I've been having a hard time this year just making time to really get into any one game. Like, I haven't finished that many games this year that I've started.
Well, you've been bopping around.
You've been like banking all of your time reserves for Zelda. This is going to be a problem because Zelda is going to take us all like 40 years to beat. And then
we have a podcast where like normally we talk about
like Diablo
games.
Is coming out or whatever,
other things. Well, Diablo and Final Fantasy.
One Game Boy.
One Game Boy.
No, the one Game Boy.
Maybe they're referring to Kirk's ability to only play
one game at one time.
I'm the one Game Boy. I am the one Game Boy.
Yeah.
I guess I always have been. I'm sort of singular in my focus. It's been hard to get back into the groove even with Zelda. Like, partly we're like about to move and there's a lot going on in my life.
Yeah,
so it's
there's
harder
like
to
a live show or something.
It's
like preventing
us
from playing Zelda.
Come to New York for a live show.
Yeah.
But no,
it's tough. There's not a good answer.
I mean, you were on a plane for 6 hours.
Yeah, but even then, like, I find that I play Zelda for a little bit, and then I'm kind of like, okay, I've got so much I want to do. And then I kind of am like, I don't know, man. Like, I play a little bit, I'm like, I want to take a nap. Or, like, I want to go read my book. I don't know. I feel like this is kind of a relatable thing.
Maybe you're
thing,
done
right?
with video games.
Yeah.
Maybe you've grown out of video games.
Oh, no.
Existential moment over here.
That would be crazy. I'd be like, I was trying to play Zelda, and I just realized
so you've learned three things tonight. You've learned that Korok seeds are poop.
Right.
You've learned Gottfried is dead.
And
you've learned that you hate video games.
It's been a real learning night for me.
Wow.
No, I'll find the group. I remember it took me a while with Breath of the Wild.
Went to New York and found yourself.
There was a feeling of, I think I had to almost finish the game with Breath of the Wild until I really just relaxed and was like, I'm just going to do a million things in this game and like spend a whole weekend playing it.
It is kind of hard to get in a groove with it because it's so distracting too. Yeah. Like every time you turn around, there's something else you could do.
Also
in it.
True.
But
also
it's good when it's on a handheld because you can be like, okay, I'm just going to take this and play an hour before bed while like
watching
TV.
It's smaller.
It
fits in your life better because it's smaller.
Yeah, exactly.
The small theory of games.
Yeah.
Nice.
Link is tiny.
Let's get another question.
Hi, how you doing? I'm Bryant. So, Zelda came out this week. That was amazing. I've been playing it. It's incredible. But another game that I love this week, unfortunately, hasn't had such a good week, which is Overwatch.
Yeah.
And I was really looking forward to the PvE. I know a lot of people were. I know that Jason and you and a lot of people on Twitter were defending like the devs, and thank you for doing that because I'm a software developer and we, you know, our passion is to just build and we work behind the scenes and we work really hard and sometimes that stuff doesn't come out because of X, Y, or Z. But it seems like a lot of AAA games recently have kind of suffered from whether it's lack of direction or not enough time and commitment from the publishers. There's just been a lot of games that have been released that haven't really lived up to expectations in recent memory. Games like Zelda and Elden Ring got... Zelda and Elden Ring being like examples of games that did, but a lot of games just haven't. Do you think this age of AAA games is kind of coming to an end in a way? Like, are we going to see a change in the way these games are released?
I mean, the biggest factor here is that COVID hit. I hope that's not a surprise to you too, Kirk.
Wait, what's... What's COVID?
So in March of 2020, well, so there was this pandemic, and what that did was a lot of things. I mean, first of all, it obviously hampered a lot of game development studios because everybody had to shift to working from home, and there was this whole pandemic thing and childcare and all that stuff that led to a lot of delays. But also, it created this environment where people have adapted to remote work and become accustomed to a remote work and are switching out of studios that don't allow for remote work and really are being more mobile in general. And there's a lot of attrition across game studios, and there's a lot of game studios that are struggling to hire people and to retain people, and it all kind of adds up into problems along the lines of what you were just talking about. So I think that's the biggest factor.
Man, I think I see everything through the lens of the Psychonauts documentary now. This is Psych Odyssey. How many people here watched Psych Odyssey?
I'm glad you're watching it.
That's pretty good. Yeah, the numbers are all right. It's not like a billion people have watched it, but they should. I look at the YouTube numbers and some guy yelling about how whatever game is terrible has 5 million views, and Psych Odyssey has
those are low quality views. I feel like the Psychonauts views are like...
People are paying attention.
Yeah, those are just Koroks watching that.
Like when I hear that the Overwatch 2 news, they have to cut PvE and remove all this stuff. Watching that series, it really does make you feel like it's a miracle that anything ever gets finished. And you see how hard it is to sit around and brainstorm and then send people off to do their thing, and then they come back and they show you, and you're trying to collaboratively figure out what you're even trying to accomplish. And even the language in that Overwatch 2 announcement where they're it's just not where we want it.
I know.
It's just not fun. We have to cut it. You can really picture that. They're all sitting around playing it, and they're this just isn't working. And
it's great.
I don't know.
Well, with that specifically, also, their director and executive producer left 2 years ago. So this is not a game that is carrying a consistent vision from
which
what
I guess
it was,
goes to the attrition you were talking
years
about.
Ago. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's part of it, anyways. Let's get another question.
Hey, guys. I'm Dallas. I just wanted to say, I don't know if I can speak for anybody else, but I appreciate you guys putting a spotlight on a lot of games, including some of my new favorite games, like Disco Elysium, Persona, and Hollow Knight.
All right.
Nice.
Three good ones.
Never would have heard about most of them if it wasn't for you guys, so I appreciate it, truly. My only question is mostly rhetorical. It's for Kirk. Did you think we would not notice the Strong Songs playlist before the show?
Nice. I wondered if anybody would, but then the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota came on, and I was like,
every song I had that, I was like, is he serious? Does he really think that?
I was like, I don't think I've ever been in a bar that's played that song before. So, cheers. I'm glad you noticed that.
He's trying to get some Weird Al over the speakers, you know?
Yeah, indeed.
My name's Devin. I've been a listener since the split screen days.
All right.
Aw, thanks.
So on the Switches are getting pretty old at this point, and there's all this anticipation of when a new hardware model is going to come. Do you guys think it'll be an iterative update, i.e. a new Nintendo Switch XL, or a backwards compatible successor, i.e. a new Nintendo Switch U?
Well, Jason made a bet.
That's right.
That it would be a totally unrelated
Did I make a bet
bet,
or did I just make a prediction?
It's part of our prediction bet.
No. I was going to say, what I told you was that next year, if it's not announced by the end of this year,
this isn't one of your predictions.
But what Kirk was going to say is that one of my predictions next year might be that Nintendo's next hardware has nothing to do with the Switch. It is a totally unrelated thing, not backwards compatible, just because everybody wants just the same thing but more powerful. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo never does what everybody wants.
They never do. Mm-hmm. They simply never do.
They like to confound us. That's
exactly.
True. So that's Jason.
It's just
be
very Nintendo.
Smaller and worse.
Smaller, worse, less powerful machine.
I think they will release a new, more powerful Switch. That's what I think.
I think I
would
predict
be shocked,
that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say they will.
Nice. We're gonna manifest it. So that's what we think. Next question, you're up.
Jason, I read both your books back last year. I loved them.
Thank you.
So I was wondering about video game journalism. Washington Post shut down Launcher this year. Yeah. I was wondering how does legacy media get more into video game journalism? Like the New York Times? Because I don't think they have any full time video game reporters over there. Do you think they should buy a video game website like IGN or anything to start in video game journalism?
New York Times. Should the New York Times buy IGN?
Can you imagine that? The headlines?
That would be something. Yeah, I don't know. That would be wild. I mean, one thing that I will say, I'm putting this out to a few people, I don't think I've ever said it publicly, but I think that, like, so I'm a reporter for Bloomberg, and I'm not part of, like, the Bloomberg video game section. I'm part of the Bloomberg tech/entertainment team. And I think there's something a little bit dangerous about being part of, like, a branded vertical, yeah, like Launcher was. Launcher was the Washington Post's video game section, because when the executives at the top of the company are making pay cuts so Jeff Bezos can, like, buy another planet, they can look at this Launcher thing and be like, Launcher, what the hell is that? Like, we don't need that. Chop, we're going to save all these salaries just because it just looks like an easy target. And that's happened a few times over the course of media, and especially games media, like big legacy media. So I think the correct way to do it would be for a newspaper or a website to treat games like another beat. And first you start with one beat reporter, maybe you add another. And that's what Bloomberg has done. And for us, it's worked really well. So now we have two reporters, myself and my colleague Cecilia, covering the games industry, which I think is certainly makes me feel more secure than I would if it was like Bloomberg, like, I don't know, Pixels or whatever.
I think that's a good way to go about it. I mean, the last time I had an opinion about this was when I worked for the Phoenix, which went out of business. But when I worked there, that was how we covered games. There wasn't some specialty video game section. It was part of the entertainment section. And it was something that one of the editors there, Peter Kasdis, really cared about. And he was like, games are art. We're going to cover them in the entertainment section. There were some editors there who weren't a fan of that, but he had enough sway there that he was just like, no, this is how we need to run this. And so I always felt like the coverage I was doing was safe. And that's why I personally put the paper out of business. And
thanks a lot,
Maddie.
I take
full blame for it.
You should have taken over a stable, cheated the owner.
Yeah, that would have
worked. Stable.
Yeah.
Nice. Next question. You're up.
Hey, my name's Dan. So as a perpetual Horizon fan, where the first game got overshadowed by Breath of the Wild and the second game got overshadowed by Elden Ring, I'm wondering, what are games that you really enjoyed that you feel didn't get enough attention because they came out, like, I don't know, during like a Mario or some other really big release?
Titanfall 2. Yeah. That's one that comes to mind for me.
That's the infamous one.
That game was so good.
Although that one, it's gotten its stripes over time.
I guess so. But like when it came, it just didn't sell well and it wasn't really seen as a success. And when it came out, it was like, I feel like EA released it a week after Battlefield 1. And then it just got totally drowned out by everything else that fall. And it was so good. It was such a good game. And nobody played it except for the five people who clapped just now.
I don't know. Maybe Star Wars Jedi Survivor a little bit right now.
A little bit, maybe. Yeah. Well, the bummer for that is I'm waiting for the PC version to get patched.
I know.
So, like, I will play it at some point.
I hear it's like not too bad right now. Yeah. So I might dip back in.
I'll finish that at some point.
Yeah, it was really
it's Star Wars.
I'm almost done, I think. I'm fighting that dude, the evil Jedi dude, so I don't know if Well,
you're fighting the evil Jedi, are you?
The evil Jedi dude.
Yeah, that's
with a lightsaber.
Well, I haven't gotten to the part where I assume Boad betrays you yet. So.
That's right. That's still your.
You set your children's lives on that or something.
Yeah,
you did.
I mean, still,
you literally still, you put your children's lives.
I will
lives
give
on
you
it.
My children if Boad does not betray you.
I don't think either of us will agree to that.
Wow.
So it's a safe bet.
It is a safe bet. All right. Well, that's a few. Anyways, next question.
I'm Ben, long time, first time. It's such a pleasure to see you guys all together here on stage.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
For us too.
Mainly Jason, but all of you guys. I'm a Final Fantasy fan, as you are, Jason, as everybody is. What am I supposed to do when Final Fantasy 16 comes out? I mean, like, I'm like 10 hours into Breath. Tears of the Kingdom. Like, how am I supposed to balance these things? Do I take a break? Do I just, like, wait? What am I supposed to do? You guys are experts. It's such a pleasure to see you here live. Tell me.
I mean, I'm supposed to get an early review copy. What am I supposed to do? Come on. I don't know.
I don't know. Tell me.
I think you should probably quit your job. And just become a shut-in. Just, like, get rid of all your other life obligations.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll finish Zelda.
So my advice is, because I am the one Game Boy, as we learned, is to be a one Game Boy. I think finish the one, get to a stopping point, and then play the other. Plus, like, Final Fantasy 16 is probably going to need, like, a bunch of patches. It'll be all messed up when it comes out. So then you can just, like, take your time with it.
Actually, I think that game will be pretty solid.
Another prediction from
Well, it's going to be really good, right? I mean, there's no way it's not going to be good.
I mean, I think it'll be good.
Don't make him comment on that. Out of the three of us, who do you think might know the answer to that? Don't make Jason.
So that's my advice, is one game at a time.
Yeah, so be a one Game
Boy.
Stick
one.
I think it'll be polished. I think that game was one of those that's been like finished for a while, and they've just been polishing, polishing.
Wow. Kind
of
only, like Zelda. If only that happened more often.
I mean, it's true. But
they're just tightening up the graphics. Yeah.
Next question, you're up.
Level three.
Hey, guys. Rob, Bears and Jars on Discord. This is more for Maddie. I guess you two can also chime in.
No, this is good. I like this.
If it's for Maddie, it's
usually,
for Maddie.
Usually questions are for Jason. So.
Yeah. Let's complete the Trinity. Samus, movie.
Oh.
Ooh. Mm. Like, who would be Samus?
Yeah,
other than me.
Steve Buscemi.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Gilbert Godfrey. Kristen Stewart.
I mean, actually,
she'd be very good. I know Brie Larson's the other sort of fan casting that people pick. I think she'd be great, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Me.
Maddie Myers.
That's our pick, Maddie Myers.
I'm not tall enough, but...
The people are with you. Cheers. Next question, come on up.
How are we doing on time? Do we have to...
It's 9:01.
We're good.
We can go
a little
more,
longer. Yeah, we'll get
we
a few
We can do this
more.
For another 5-6 hours.
That's true. We just go forever. We'll go a little longer. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jared, a big fan.
Hello.
So I spent a lot of time watching Link to the Past Randomizer, which...
Right on.
Love that.
Yeah, yeah.
For those who don't know, it's the regular game, but all the item locations are switched.
Yep.
And Link to the Past is really cool because it makes it so, depending where they are, you have to beat the game in a different order.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I just want to know, what game would you love to see randomized and play?
Bloodborne. Mm.
Oh!
100%.
Yeah, there is a Bloodborne.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never played it. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. You have to play like a hacked version of the game or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I know there's like an Elden Ring boss randomizer, too, where like if you go to a boss, it could be any boss, nice. Which sounds terrifying.
Return of the Obra Dinn.
Oh, man. If only that were possible.
Yeah,
or a case of the Golden Idol.
It would just be infinitely generated and still make logical sense.
Just all be a mystery, yeah. Or case of the Golden
Idol.
Maybe
AI can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like one of those things that might be possible.
Did you guys see that Case of the Golden Idol is coming to Switch?
I just got it. Even more people can play it.
Yeah,
very
strongly
exciting.
Recommend.
Did I tell you I finished the DLC? It's really good.
Yeah, it's great, right?
Yeah, it's
so good. Did you?
I have not yet even opened it.
Oh, man.
It's very good.
Have you heard about Zelda?
It's pretty good.
I know. It's not. Listen, I want to play it. I want to play other games.
All right, let's get another one. We're going to go fast. We're going fast. Fast answers.
Round.
Here we go.
Hi, my name's Nick. So as you mentioned before, Street Fighter VI coming out in a few weeks, but also Mortal Kombat, new game in September, new Tekken soonish, new Undernight game leaked, huge Street Fighter prize pools. I can go on, but like my point is just like fighting games seem to be doing really, really well right now, relatively speaking, for the genre. I'm just like, why now? Like, is something going on in the market? Is, like, new technology? Is it just something in the water? Like, what's going on?
We all just want to fight each other.
We all just want to fight each other. Yeah, you know, I feel like it's a different answer for each studio, which probably isn't what you're looking for. So let's say there's something in the water. But then in addition to that, I feel like for Street Fighter in particular, obviously a lot of weird decisions made with Street Fighter V. It feels like they're walking them back for Street Fighter VI, so I'm like really pulling for Capcom this time. It seems really fun. I've played some of the betas. I'm pumped about it. Not enough of a Tekken person to comment on that. Mortal Kombat's just been weird and beautiful this whole dang time, so I don't know if that's like a return to form for them. But yeah, I don't know. Fighting games never died for me. I'm like, they were always great, even when they're bad. Evo's so fun to watch.
Isn't it crazy, Maddie, that the same person has been in charge of Mortal Kombat for 30 years?
It's pretty nuts. Wow.
Ed Boon.
Ed Boon.
I think just that's the only guy. Like that's the only Western developer I can think of who's been at a franchise, like the franchise he
is
created.
Is Ed Boon the guy who appears Toasties? Is he the guy on screen who pops out? Toasties! When that happens.
I have no idea.
Is he? Does anyone out there know this? Oh, it's the sound guy. Okay, I knew it was one of the developers.
Yeah, it is a guy.
It's a guy. Guy who worked on it.
Ed Boon is Noob Saibot. Like, that's
his name. Right, that's a play on his name. Yeah. All right, let's have it.
Hello, Kirk, Maddie, Jason.
Hello.
I just want to start by congratulating Kirk on the marriage and Jason on the new child.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
And he kept it a secret.
Yep,
why?
The secret child.
My name is Alex. My question is,
you have to congratulate Maddie also on the marriage.
Maddie, congratulations on the
engagement.
On the nuptials. Engagement also.
All right. It's weird now.
So if you guys had to get a tattoo dedicated to a video game, what video game would it be and what might that tattoo look like?
Oh, I know.
None of us have any tattoos, right?
No.
Which is weird because we're all millennials.
I know.
How did this happen?
I feel like we have tattoo energy. Do we have tattoo energy?
I don't think any of any of us do because none of us have any.
I would get a Grim Fandango tattoo.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's like a lot of square characters. They kind of lend themselves. It would be less painful because they'd have to draw less detail.
Mm-hmm. You'd get it on the old bicep.
I don't know, or like forearm.
Mom and a heart and Grim Fandango also. Yeah.
Manny with a heart. Yeah. Manny just right there.
I would get the entire plot of Final Fantasy VII.
Hell yeah. Like on your back.
It's
written out in like sick script.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Hell yeah. Uh-huh. With like the ghost train across your shoulders. Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
But except it would run out of, they would run out of space just when Aerith is leaning down to pray and nothing bad ever happens to her.
Wow. I guess it'd have to be a Metroid tattoo.
Yeah.
But like, I don't
know.
I'm
surprised you don't have a Metroid tattoo.
I know. Isn't that kind of weird? It'd be kind of cool to have like an orange portal and then like portal.
That would be pretty
cool.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that. Just to kind of, you know,
those are some
it
good
up.
Tattoo
then, like,
ideas.
Your liver coming out of the one in the back.
Yeah.
Not
just
bad.
Like
all
mix
right.
and match different franchises. Yeah.
Next up, let's have it.
Hey there, I'm Jerry. And my question is, so when I was a kid, I used to read GamePro magazines all the time. And I envisioned myself as being a games journalist so I could just review anything, give it a 4, a 5 out of 5 or whatever.
The dream,
like
truly the dream.
But as the years progress, video games have become a big industry, obviously. You guys are in this. And my question is, what's actually more fun as video game journalists now? Reviewing games or talking about big business video game stuff, like Microsoft buying Activision and stuff like that?
I think you'll get different answers from each of us for that.
Well, I think reviewing games is really hard. I mean, it used to be my favorite thing to do, but actually, it's very difficult to play a game in that way. I think we would all agree with that.
Yeah.
There's a privilege to it, and there's certainly something really special about getting to be the one who does it, but it's hard. And I really
it depends
like
on the game, also. It depends how much time they give you. Man, so usually you get like a week or two to review a game, depending on the company, depending on how hot the game is coming in.
Yeah.
Kirk and I, back in 2017, we both got review codes for Persona 5 2 months early, and it was amazing.
Yeah, because it's like a 100-hour game.
You can take your time.
Yeah.
You can really just play at your leisure, which is nice. I mean, my answer, I've always preferred reporting, but that's just me personally. It was just me.
Yeah, Persona 5.
It was quite good. It was quite good.
It was.
Yeah. What's your review?
We played it twice.
That's true. I played through it again.
200 hours on that game. Was it good? No.
No, it sucked. Steam review. Thumbs down.
I always liked reviewing games when I was working at Kotaku. One of my proudest moments reviewing a game, though, actually factored in Jason's reporting to my review of Red Dead Redemption 2. So it was kind of like combining the two
tag
things.
Tag team, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like a tag team. These days, Maddie, you're right that it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a lot of pressure and
it
stress.
Is a lot
you're
of
like,
pressure.
This needs to be good. This people need to read this. Like,
yeah.
I really need to make this good. So the key is you start a video game podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you can just like play some of a game and then you just kind of mouth off
about it
for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
You can change your mind a week later and be like, actually, I don't like this game anymore. No one comes after you on Twitter for it. Those are, I guess, some answers. Next question.
Hi, my name is Michael, and yes, I did bring my Switch with
me.
Oh, all right, nice.
My question is, so I'm looking to start a family soon, and my question for all of y'all is, what advice would you give to someone who wants to be a good lower G gamer husband and or dad? Mm.
Okay.
It's a Jason question, really.
We've got one dad here,
but
three people in committed relationships.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just dad, it's also spouse.
That's true.
Yeah.
Lowercase g. Well,
and
don't.
How
wait,
I
have
mean,
one.
If you want to be a lowercase g gamer, don't harass people on the internet.
Yeah.
That's really one of the first steps.
You're golden.
Yeah. Then you're pretty much there.
True.
You're uppercase g golden. I have one
piece of advice, and that is if you go play games in another room, like at night or whatever, you know, my wife, Emily, who's here tonight, she'll be watching TV in the living room, and I'll go into my office to play games. I leave the door open. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's nice to have the door be open. It's not like I'm like, okay, I'm going to go close myself away from you like be in my gamer room.
Leave that door open.
Leave it open. And then it's just kind of like, all right, whatever. Like, we're all
well, you're playing
space
with headphones on, I assume.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
but
that's true. Not blaring gunfire.
Yeah.
But I don't know, that's an actual piece of advice. I think that's kind of
interesting. But does she, I mean, Dina comes in and talks to me and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then, right, she can come in and, like, scare me when I'm playing Dead
Space. Of course, that also happens. Yeah. It's great.
My advice is when your wife takes your Switch and plays through all of Zelda on your Switch, just buy her own Switch.
That's good advice.
That is good advice.
Yeah.
That'll solve a lot of potential problems.
A lot of
problems.
Strife, yeah.
Get multiple...
Because there's only
and
one
ask me in a couple
file.
Of years what it's
Why?
Like to play right. games with your kid, because my oldest isn't quite there yet.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, though. Nice. All right, how are we doing?
Let's...
I can't see how many people we have in line. Looks like there's a...
How many of you
are... We got four in line. All right, you're all up, and you're the last
it.
Four, and then we're
yeah,
going to go.
Let's cut
Here
it
we
off
go.
There.
Four.
We'll be around afterward, too, so we can ask your question then, too, if you want to ask offline. Go ahead.
Howdy, my name's Julius. Obviously, there's a ton of nods to past Zelda games in Tears of the Kingdom and also Breath of the Wild, but if you could bring something from an older Zelda game, like pre-Breath of the Wild, into Tears, what would it be? Like, I would bring the transformational masks from Majora's Mask.
Sure.
That's a
like, imagine Ocarina. So,
what would it be? What would we bring in?
The Ocarina.
Yeah, man. Bring in an Ocarina you can
Just
play.
Be cool.
That's a good pick.
Get a little music in there.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid
I've missed the hook shot.
Yeah.
Oh man, can you imagine?
Yeah, that's one thing I've
go
I've
just
missed.
Cause and
well,
because
it seems like it would fit
Hell
in.
Yeah.
It would fit in perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to just like
yeah. Why can't you just build
yourself?
One?
Lazy
exactly.
developers just didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe DLC. All right, that's a good one. The hook
yeah.
shot.
I think the Breath of the Wild developers. I remember they told me once when I interviewed them a few years ago that that it was cut. Like they
oh, really?
Had it in Breath of the Wild and then they cut it.
It is kind of the era of the grappling hook. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
That's not in nice. Next question. Here.
Hello. Angel. Quick question. What's the weather?
What is the weather? It's been beautiful in
really
Brooklyn,
nice.
New York.
Real question. Real
beautiful.
Question. You guys have been podcasting for a while now. Any lessons that you've picked up in the last, 6 years?
How long have we been making? How long were we making a split screen? Something like that. Longer. I know one, if for people making a podcast, is you have to be consistent. That's the thing I always tell people. Number one thing is like you got to release every whatever your schedule
yep,
is.
Yep. I got a really, really important one. So find an already successful podcast with two guys who are more like they have more Twitter followers than you. And like more people know who they are. But like be a little funnier than those guys.
I can't show you the lie. I can't find it.
And then just like start hanging out with them, and then that's my big tip.
That's a very
it works
good tip.
Every time,
somebody. Yeah, every time. Do you have any tips, Jason?
My tip is to have the best co-hosts in the world.
That's also a real easy tip for everyone to follow, I think. Nice. Let's get a couple more questions.
Hey, my name's Mirage.
Hey.
So my question kind of had to do with what you talked about earlier with COVID and affecting game development. We're going to see a lot of second and third degree effects of that. One of them that I was thinking about is these next gen, not even next gen, the PS5 and Xbox Series X came out 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it.
No.
But if you were to tell any other console that came into 3 years, we'd be talking about a pro model or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you think this console's life cycle will be longer than what we imagine, or will the technology catch up and I'm going to be very mad buying a new console 6 years in again?
That's a great question.
That is a good
I don't
question.
Know. I don't have any kind of like I don't have any informed knowledge on this one, but it's hard to imagine like a PS6 in like 3 years or 4 years.
I feel like
but
the
I have
fact
no idea.
That they sold out so quickly for so long also impacts the life cycle of them. Like it almost wouldn't feel fair in 3 years to be announcing a console when it's like, we all just barely got these ones.
Right. Well, even now, I mean, they're still releasing games on PS4. Like Street Fighter is coming to PS4.
Yeah. I mean, it's only like now that games are starting to be exclusives and it's kind of normalized.
Jedi Survivor was like one of the first third-party exclusive. Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird. It's just the way that the last 3 years didn't happen. Like, the way you can just look back and be like, wait, like, what the hell happened? Yeah,
yeah.
It's just the game industry version of that. So, mm-hmm. Like,
except
sort of
that's, like,
compressed.
How long TripleClick's been around. So that right. happened.
That definitely happened. Though sometimes we look back and we're like, wait, what? Like, we started this show how long ago?
We only just started
this
show, right?
This
is episode 151. Is this our first episode?
This is 156 tonight.
Yes, it is.
It's 156.
156. That's wild.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good run.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
All right. One
All right.
More question.
Final question.
Final
You're
one.
Up.
No pressure.
Yeah. I'm the final one. And if my question sucks, the people
you
will
got
remember
this.
Me.
You're fine. We all believe
so,
in you.
So, hello. My name is Kirill.
Hello.
All the way here from Montreal. And before that.
All right.
Thanks for coming.
Other countries.
Bienvenue.
So, my question is. Recently, I've been playing Horizon Burning Shores, and there you're exploring Los Angeles, where I've never been, but I like exploring like this fictional version of Los Angeles, and Assassin's Creed games make you explore different time periods and different places. Mm-hmm. So is there any place in the world that you would love to explore specifically in a video game?
Yeah, for sure. Like the Arctic Circle? That's too cold. But I'd love to go there and like watch some penguins surfing around. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Safe. Man, I thought about the reverse version of this, which is that my knowledge of New York comes from Grand Theft Auto 4. And when I'm visiting here, I'll be walking. Like,
you're finally visiting it.
Well, and I'm visiting here and I'm walking with Emily and I'm like, right, New Jersey's on that side. I remember because that's where New Jersey is in Grand Theft Auto 4. Or I'm like, this train track. I totally remember these train tracks. You walk into them all the time in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Make sure I don't tell you where I parked my car.
But I guess the reverse it back around to the question, you do really learn these places by going and visiting them in video games. Like, I feel that way about a lot of places I've been in Assassin's Creed.
If you play Spider-Man, you learn that the streets go from 50 to 57 to 62.
Right, but I'm trying to think of places that I would want to visit. I like Chicago, but we got to go to Chicago and Watch Dogs. Kind of an unfortunate game, but it was cool that we went to the
Boston
to
and
the
Last of Us and the show, totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'd like to see them do a better job.
Yeah, and there hasn't been a Portland, Oregon, really, in a video game that I can think of. I wrote an article, I'll cop to
Wasn't
that.
Wasn't Days Gone in Oregon?
It was in Oregon. It was in like sort of, Portland wasn't in it. It was more like rural, kind of near Bend where they made it. I wrote an article for Kotaku that was like, they should definitely never build a Grand Theft Auto game in Portland. Like, never make a Grand Theft Auto game.
Was this reverse psychology? It was like.
No, at the time I meant it. It was a terrible, terrible article. I'm so, like, embarrassed by it now. I remember people. Like,
everybody look it up. Get a lot
it's
of
really
traffic
bad.
Going to
We'll put a link in the show notes.
I was getting dunked on social media. People were like, whatever, Portland's a great town. You just moved here. Shut up. And I was like. I look back on it now and I'm like, yeah, shut up. Like, so I don't know why I just told that story, but I did.
This is a perfect note to end this show.
So what I'm saying is I would love to see a video game set in Portland.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I feel like Kentucky Route Zero is also, I mean, it doesn't have a Portland section, but I always liked how region-specific and yet also weird and otherworldly it was.
Right.
So more games like that where it's not exact. But just has the feeling of certain places.
A game where you operate an artisanal cheese shop in Portland.
Right.
Perfect.
A game where you sell rare books in Portland, Oregon.
I'd play that game then. Probably.
A game where you're a jazz musician.
Yeah, unpacking in your new home in Portland, Oregon.
In Portland.
That is almost the game, unpacking.
It is.
Play unpacking. We're going to play Power Washer Simulator. There's a lot of games that we're going to be playing.
Yep.
In the next few weeks.
All right.
Wow. That's
we
it.
We did it.
We made a podcast. Hey, look at that. Yeah. Thank you all so much for coming out.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks to Ian and thanks to Adrianos. Who helped run the show here at the
Hand of
Applause
for everyone at the Bell House.
Couldn't have done it without him.
Thanks to everybody at the Bell House for making this happen. We're totally going to do it again, and thank you all so much for coming.
Thanks for coming, guys.
We really, really appreciate you all being here. And we're all
done. Bye.
Triple Click is produced by Jason Schreier, Maddie Myers, and me, Kirk Hamilton. I edit and mix the show and also wrote our theme music. Our show art is by Tom DJ.
Some of the games and products we talked about on this episode may have been sent to us for free for review consideration. You can find a link to our ethics policy in the show notes. TripleClick is a proud member of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network, and if you like our show, we hope you'll consider supporting us by becoming a member at MaximumFun.org/join. Find us on Twitter at TripleClickPod, send email to TripleClick@MaximumFun.org, and find a link to our Discord in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.